post show and posting it on our Spanish website. You can check it out there. Go to democracynow.org. Democracy Now! Is produced with Mike Burke, Dina Guzder, Messiah Rhodes, Nermeen Sheikh, Maria Teresena, Tammy Werner, Trina Nadura, Sam Alcock, Tamaria Studio, John Hamilton, Ravi Karen, Hani Masood, Sanju Lopez. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez.
There's no one-size-fits-all puberty experience. If you're trans, intersex, or non-binary, know that you're not the only one feeling confused. For some intersex people, puberty may start later than age 14. You might experience some of puberty's changes and not others, and your body may or may not go through puberty on its own. There are medicines you can take to help your body start the process, like hormone replacement therapy. Some people decide on hormones or surgeries to help their bodies match up to their gender identity, or how they feel inside about themselves. Your gender identity is real. You should be the one to decide what changes you want to make to your body. If you're transgender or non-binary, you may find that your puberty experiences don't line up with your gender identity or how you see yourself. That feeling can be uncomfortable, scary, and stressful. If that sounds like you, know that you're not alone. There are medicines you can take to delay puberty for a while. They're called puberty blockers, and they work like a stop sign by halting the hormones testosterone and estrogen that cause puberty changes like facial hair growth and periods. Puberty blockers are safe and can give you more time to figure out what feels right for you, your body, and your gender identity. You don't have to have all of the answers right now. So remember, it's all a work in progress, and it may take time to figure out what feels right to you, but talking to a trusted adult and a nurse or doctor may help. Want to learn more? Go to PlannedParenthood.org/teens.
And this is radio station WUSB Stony Brook. The time is 6 o'clock. Time for Off the Wall. good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you on this delightful, windy, rainy Tuesday night, joined tonight by Kyle.
Hi.
It's good to be inside, right?
Yeah, it's much less dynamic and cold and yeah.
Yeah, and if you are outside, try to get inside. It's going to get nasty from what I hear.
Seek shelter.
Uh-huh. Leaves all over the place. Have you noticed that? They all came down.
Yeah, the last holdouts are now fallen, or soon to.
You know, we were noticing this the other day. What is with people and leaf blowers? I mean, you know, when I was growing up, leaf blowers didn't exist. I don't think they existed. I was not aware of leaf blowers. Is that some kind of new invention?
I think it's a form of suburban echolocation.
It's air being blown out of a device. That's all it is. So I don't know why. I think we didn't have them because we didn't really see the point. And now it's like a competition. You know, stick your head out in the daytime, any autumn day, and you will hear the sound of leaf blowers. You know, you won't hear the sound of the wind. You won't hear the sound of nature. You'll hear that. And it's, you know, people just want to get the leaves, what, from here to there. Why can't they be everywhere? I mean, you know, they're going to come back anyway. The wind is just going to bring them right back to you. When I was a kid, we raked leaves. You know, we had these things. Gather around. I'm going to tell you about these things called rakes. You know, they were, you didn't plug them in. They didn't have batteries. They didn't use gasoline. You just used them with your arms and raked up leaves into big piles. I don't know what we did with the big piles. I think what we did was, well, sometimes we jumped in them. That was fun. Sometimes we just raked them into the woods. And sometimes, and this was kind of rare, we'd rake them into those big plastic bags, which just seemed kind of like a waste. And it was a waste. And that's stupid. Don't do that. You just what's going to happen to the leaves? They're going to go to a landfill in a big plastic bag? They're leaves, you know? They're the most natural thing there is. So let them do their thing on the ground.
Yeah, you could sweep them to areas or rake to areas that are not not in the way of traffic, or so, and, mm-hmm. and so it keeps it basically as a ground cover in forested areas. You could also introduce other clippings and organic matter and compost in a big pile.
It's about as organic as you can get.
Yeah. The bags, yeah, you're introducing plastic. I saw one individual, she had this little stick blower, and mm-hmm. it just seemed so futile for the amount of leaves that were trying to be moved. And
well, maybe she was making a point.
I will.
This is ridiculous. Look how ridiculous it is. Let me be an example.
Yeah, inevitably you just start trying to do more than you can, and that's where I think the poetic futility of man controlling every dang leaf. And there's so many different ways of doing it. I will say I admire all the different devices now. They're not all combustion powered, if you know what I mean.
Really? You admire the devices? They're blowing air.
There's more variety, but I don't know if that's better. I mean, maybe there's a proliferation of these types of blowing devices, and it's not better. Although there were quite a lot of them when they were all gas powered, and they still are commercially, but I don't know. I don't know if that mix is helping, or if it's just making it okay to have more of them in all shapes and sizes going at once.
I get it if you don't want leaves on the pathway that goes from your house to wherever you're going, you know, the road or your garage or whatever. You don't want to fall on your ass, you know, by slipping on leaves. Okay. But you don't have to blow every single leaf off your property into something else or somewhere else. You know, spending all day with this thing, making all this noise and just doing something that is just going to come back anyway. We have this obsession. It's obsession. We have so many obsessions now. I don't want to keep saying when I was a kid, but when I was a kid, you know, we are the ones that cut the grass. We're the ones that rake the leaves. You know, we'd make, you know, a little bit of money from people for doing that for them, shoveling their driveways. Now everything is, you know, some kind of professional service that goes way overboard. Yeah, and gets every single leaf off your property and then comes back next week and does it again because they all came back. I don't know, people, priorities, you know, so many other things to care about.
You could mulch and chip and grind it, and there's so many options. So be creative as you are,
well,
folks.
You know what else you could do? I mean, this costs money. You hire somebody. They come to your house. They spend a few hours making all this noise and blowing leaves off your property, and you pay them a set amount. What if, instead of that, you put that money somewhere else? Now, do I have ideas? Maybe. But here's a suggestion.
We're the largest non-commercial freeform radio station on Long Island. Please donate. Any amount is greatly appreciated. We're volunteers and student-led out of Stony Brook University, but we still need to pay the bills. Visit www.wusb.fm/pledge or call 631-632-6901. You can get a WUSB mug, baseball cap, t-shirt, sweatshirt, or tote bag in return. Many thanks, your student board.
Yes, thank you, student board. And just, you know, a PS to that, I guarantee, I will put this in writing if necessary, that when you donate to WUSB, not one penny of your donation will go to blowing leaves. Inside, outside, anywhere. That's not what we use the money for. We use the money, as she said, to pay bills and to keep the station going, to keep this amazing place on the air. We're in the middle of our fall radiothon. And all you have to do is go to WUSB.fm. You'll see a section there where you can donate. Become a sustaining member where you donate a small amount every single month, like, you know, $5, $10. It's the price of a cup of coffee, for God's sake. I mean, you know, WUSB is on the air 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And if there are extra days, we go on the air then, too. But this is just one show, what you're listening to now. 1 hour, one measly hour. Are we not worth the price of a cup of coffee once a month? I mean, is that how little you think of us, that you can't just give us that amount for this 1 hour, let alone all the other hours, all the other days, all the other people and talent that show up on this radio station? One cup of coffee a month. Yeah, that's all we're asking for. And for that small amount, when you add the months up, it's a bigger number, a much bigger number. And if a lot of people do that, we're okay. We stay on the air. We're able to fix things when they break. Remember, our transmitter was broken for a year and a half. It took time, but we got to it because of support. And that support is so important. WUSB.fm, 631-632-6901. To call in if there are people in the pledge room. Sometimes there are, sometimes there aren't, sometimes they're overwhelmed, because we're all volunteers. But WUSB.fm, that's always there. You can always donate in that way. And there are all kinds of we have somebody else? Okay, we have another testimonial here on how people can donate.
Oh, Binky, dude, you look awesome. What's this shirt? Oh, is that a WUSB shirt?
Yeah, so if you donate to WUSB, you could get swag.
No way. What can you get? Like, what kind of stuff?
So if you donate $15, a DJ will pick out a CD. If you donate $35, you could get a mug or a baseball cap. For $50, you could get this t-shirt I'm wearing. For $75, you could get a sweatshirt. And for $90.10, you could get a sweatshirt and then pick an item. And then for $107.30, you can get a sweatshirt and pick two items.
Dude, that's a deal. Where can I donate?
You could donate by calling 631-632-6901 or on www.wusb.fm.
Man, I'm going to donate today.
And thank you, DJ Binky. Binky? Blinky? Well, thank you. Thank you all the people who are joining in and urging people to call in and support this place. Seriously, it doesn't take much. It just takes a little bit of dedication and you know, knowing how important it is to have a radio station like WUSB. It's funny, you know, if you're noticing our signal isn't quite as good as it was a week or so ago, And we're temporarily at lower power because there's an issue, which we're going to talk about in weeks ahead. It's a good story, but there's a bit of an interference issue that we're trying to figure out, and we are going to figure it out. It's not a anything that we have to buy additional equipment for. But it's if you're noticing a slight degradation in the signal, it's because of that. But it's also because we have top-notch people on top of these things as soon as they happen so that we are able to get you the best signal possible. And always, you can listen to WUSB.FM and hear what's going on over the air. There's archives as well. You can hear past shows. This place is has been on the air nonstop since 1977, and we hope it continues many, many years into the future. So WUSB.FM, 631-632-6901 for your support.
We need all of those contributions. Every little bit counts. And the more of these continuing monthly, I guess, levels that we can count on time. And again, that basically eliminates the hassle. It's not something that you have to monitor as much, and it can be just a few dollars, but the more people, bigger the community, the less it really takes to keep us really in a good place in those interim periods, and maybe have more time for programming and less interruption. But we're really, really honored to be here with so many other talented people and have the ability to talk about anything and listen to all the other programming and then what some of our audience members have.
I heard through the grapevine that tonight is a Finn night, so that's really special. That means you'll hear 2 hours of really amazing radio following us, and it's like that all the time on WUSB. All kinds of variety, all kinds of expertise and music and news and views and all sorts of alternatives that you've come to depend on us for. And stations like WUSB are few and far between, and there aren't very many like it around here, that's for sure. So your support helps ensure that that stays, that becomes something that people in the future will cherish as well. So Thanksgiving in 2 days. Today is one of the busiest travel days of the year. In fact, today and tomorrow and the Sunday after Thanksgiving are the three busiest days, I believe, in the entire year. And interestingly, the numbers are up. In fact, they're saying this Thanksgiving might be the busiest travel season in history. In history. Gas, if you care about such things, gas prices are 39 cents a gallon less than they were last year. Turkey is super cheap for some reason. It went way down. In fact, we went, we do this, we got a turkey ourselves, and we went to the checkout, and we checked the thing out, and I thought there was, I actually had to call the person over. We were in the self-checkout line. Called the person over and said, this can't be right. It's almost like we're getting this for nothing. It was supposed to be something like $45, and it lobbed $20 off because there was some kind of a sale I wasn't even aware of. And, you know, a 20-pound turkey wound up being less than $20. And that just didn't feel right. So I said, look, there has to be a problem. And it wasn't. It wasn't a mistake. This was the real price. Insane. But, wow. So, okay, you have all these things going on. Are we going to give Biden any credit for this? Because we sure blame him when it goes the other way, right? Every time, you know, something costs a penny more, or something isn't as busy as it was last year, or people are just in a bad mood, Biden's fault. Yep, it's going to be a problem for him. Okay, well, now, going the other way, these same people. I know the people who want to blame him for everything are not going to give him credit, but the rest of us, the rest of us who roll our eyes when people are blaming him for every little thing, maybe it's time for us to step up and say, yeah, look at this. What do you have to say for yourselves now? And, you know, force these people to eat crow or whatever they have for Thanksgiving.
Yeah, pass the mashed potatoes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And a little more of that sauce.
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. It's I'm sure going to come up. Lots of people are thinking about discussions.
Well, I'm just so sick of the naysayers and the doomsayers and the stupid sayers and all these people out there that are constantly look. People were freaking out because Biden turned 81 yesterday. Did you not know he was going to turn 81? I mean, that's something we knew 4 years ago. You know, it's on the calendar. It's literally time. And Democrats are just tearing their hair out, saying, oh, my God, he's so old. Yeah, you know what? You should be so lucky, you know, to be able to run a country at that age and do a decent job of it and you know, speak your mind and not be afraid of what people say in return and be open to change and just carry this air of sanity and competence that was so lacking in previous years. And we have to entertain the possibility that, yeah, we're going to cast that away because the guy is, what, 2 or 3 years older than the lunatic at his heels? Come on, people. We're better than that. We're the ones that are the problem. You know, if we can even say for a moment that this is an acceptable alternative, or that who's the latest third-party candidate? Robert F. Kennedy Jr. or
Jill?
Jill Stein or Joe Manchin? Come on.
Joe
this is not right. No. We have to join together like never before because, really, I know we say this next election is the most important of all time, but have you heard what Trump has been saying? Have you heard the promises he's making? It's practically like an execution squad he's lining up for all his enemies. And we saw what happened in the past. The future will be much, much worse because he knows how to get away with things now. And we ought to know all this. We ought to really know. What are you making that kind of face for, Kyle?
Oh, I know. Uh-huh. No. Yes, I know. And no. But no. No. But there's a lot to be thankful for, I think.
Yeah,
everyone
be.
Will
we
be considered. Everyone will have something, I think, to be thankful for. Whatever that is and how that
something
mixes it up.
Under the Thanksgiving tree or whatever, however we distribute gifts.
Well, people got to get it out of their system, too, mm-hmm. and hear what others are, where they're at, and come back to life, you know, come back to their lives, mm-hmm. Maybe refreshed or with a new point of view.
Yeah. Look, I just elected a chainsaw-wielding psychopath in Argentina. That is the Trump equivalent, supposedly. Okay, you know what? I know very little about Argentinian politics. I suspect that's probably a bad idea. But let's see what happens. You know, Argentina, they want to adopt the U.S. dollar as their official currency. That doesn't sound like a good idea. But fine, you know, do that if you want. They're basically cutting all these vital institutions and yeah, you know what? The guy has no experience as a TV host. All right, good luck with that. Good luck with that. We tried that once.
My reaction is, of course, a chainsaw wielding psycho is the president or for whatever he wants.
Don't teach Trump how to hold a chainsaw.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. Right on time, even. Yeah,
39 cents less per gallon of gas. That's a big deal, isn't it? I mean, if it was the other way around, everybody would be complaining about it.
I don't hear complaints about it being lower.
I don't hear anybody saying it's lower.
Like, wouldn't you complain that it's too low at some point?
I don't know if Americans are capable of complaining something costs too little. But maybe, you know, I would. No, I would. I think gas should be much more expensive because, you know, it pollutes the air. It's, you know, it's a fossil fuel that, you know, we need to wean ourselves off of. And if we keep lowering the price and bringing people back, then that's, you know, not good for green energy. And green energy is making such strides, something we really seem to refuse to realize. But it's true.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it's a volume industry, that fuel. But mm-hmm. I'm with you. The incentivizing bad behavior or reckless consumption, shall we say, with prices so very low. But we did complain about a turkey being too low. So, I mean, there
Well, no, I wasn't complaining. I was. Well, I just didn't want to rip off the store.
That's, I think, more of it. Yeah, yeah. It's consideration for the establishment there.
Yeah. Now, on the subject of wind power, the first offshore wind turbine in federal waters was installed off New England last week. Maybe you heard about the celebration? No? Because there wasn't any for some reason. But there should have been. Yes. First wind turbine in federal waters installed off New England last week. LIPA and New York State have launched a decades-long transition from fossil fuel power plants to new green energy. These are good things. The turbine, built with help from European ships and equipment, is the first of 12 to be placed off the coast of Rhode Island for the South Fork Wind Farm, set to deliver 130 megawatts of power to tens of thousands of residents of the Hamptons and eastern Long Island by year's end or by early next year. The project is located 35 miles east of Montauk Point, connected by a cable at Wainscott, where it will make its way to a LIPA substation in East Hampton. And, you know, throughout this whole process, people have complained about every aspect of it. Oh, my God, it's going to ruin the view. It's 35 miles out on the water, and I'll be able to see it, and that's going to ruin my view. Or, you know, some kind of a bird is going to get caught in this particular thing. You know, never mind all the birds that you know, die when there's oil spills and all kinds of other things that are caused by fossil fuels. No, this is the real problem for birds. Or the cable. Oh, my God, the cable is going to be coming up through my town, or it's going to be over there, and I don't want a cable underneath the ground. And it's just unbelievable. And you have to ask yourself, what are your priorities? You know, that you have a wind turbine spinning in the distance, providing power that's renewable, and that's a bad thing? Seriously, people, seriously.
Well, these projects increase the diversity of the input. And there's other stuff like the battery storage technologies and other innovations. And I think that would be fantastic for an island and a place that's accustomed to outages and storms. And these things have dual purposes when you're providing efficiencies and diverse methods as well as emergency resources when things aren't available in there as a part of the traditional, like the normal grid, but we should be sort of navigating it, but not impeding it, because stuff that takes a really long time it's excruciating, and I think it allows entry for greenwashing and other technologies that are costlier for other reasons.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a milestone, and I just wish there was more attention being
the benefits,
paid to it.
Yeah, the benefits are so much more than a lot of these risks. I think there's things they're surmountable.
Now, New York State is, the current New York State government, that is, not the kind we could have had. The current New York State government is viewing a milestone of the first turbine as a vital starting point for tangible work on its vision of a fully renewable grid by 2040. You know, that's not that far away. A fully renewable grid, that's an accomplishment.
That's the latest.
It's a necessity.
Right? We're gonna make it faster than that.
The state expects to have some 9,000 megawatts of offshore wind by 2035, has awarded contracts for most of that anticipated power, though some remain in question as the developers seek to recoup higher project costs. And, of course, you know, the costs are always going to be an issue, but you can't debate the fact that this is something that is renewable. And as such, even if it does cost more, which it shouldn't, but our planet is really the beneficiary here. Governor Kathy Hochul, who last week announced an expedited offshore wind proposal request that would allow some who have asked for price increases for their projects to rebid them, in a statement called the first turbine in the water a momentous occasion. And that sentence was really a disaster. We are not only generating clean energy, but also pioneering a healthy and safe environment for future generations of New Yorkers. She said, we are shaping a brighter, greener tomorrow, committed to a future where innovation and sustainability go hand in hand. All right, well, I'm happy she said that. Not so happy with something else she did in the past week. I don't know what's going on here. I really don't. But Governor Hochul has once again vetoed legislation that would have returned state recognition to the Montaukett Indian Nation, a move one tribal leader called cruel. Her veto statement cited a 1910 state Supreme Court ruling that declared the tribe dispersed and disintegrated and said the tribe has not provided required information needed for state approval. Quoting from 1910, now, Montaukett members, lawmakers, legal experts have labeled that 1910 court decision flawed and racist. Imagine that, as recently as 1910. For the governor to cite that decision as a basis for the veto is outrageous, said Assemblyman Fred Thiel, Jr., Democrat of Sag Harbor, who added, I am ashamed of our state government. That's right, a Democrat saying, I am ashamed of our democratic state government. And that is a valid statement, absolutely. He called the court decision one of the most racist decisions in New York State jurisprudence. I'm crushed, said Sandy Brewster Walker, an author and historian who is the Montaukett Nation's executive director. How could she be so cruel? I am outraged, said Harry Wallace, chief of the Uncochog Indian Nation on the Pushpatuck Reservation in Mastic. The veto is, quote, insult to injury. It's particularly obnoxious during Native American Heritage Month and a week before Thanksgiving, he said. Friday night's veto marks the second time Hochul has vetoed the bill, which was passed unanimously in the state legislature. Then-Governor Andrew M. Cuomo also vetoed the bill on three separate occasions after it previously passed the legislature with widespread support. Okay, this is the part I don't understand. All right, what is with governors vetoing the recognition of the Montaukett Nation? What is up with that? And widespread support with the legislature, in fact, unanimous support with the state legislature. So I've asked this question many, many times, and I've not received a single answer. Why can't the veto be overridden? Is it something that they don't want to override this veto? Is this some kind of a dance that everybody is playing where it's understood that we're going to vote for it, you're going to vote against it, and everybody's going to maintain the status quo? Something doesn't add up here. If everybody wants this, one person shouldn't be able to just veto it, and why does that one person keep vetoing it? Cuomo, now Hochul, something is up here. Please, if you know what it is, otw@2600.com is our email address. But wow, it was expected. You know, I expected this to happen. It's just sad. It's just sad to see it happen. You know, what do we lose by recognizing the Montaukett tribe? I don't get it. And I'm sorry if I'm mispronouncing it, because it's not a word we say often.
Yeah, I don't know. There may be some kind of, there's probably a lot to the determination of the state that if they do relinquish, they'll have to open up. It opens up a lot of what is owed, probably land and a lot of restitution for the circumstances that that people that are claiming this have endured.
And imagine that. Imagine actually to make up for past wrongs.
Imagine. But is it so hard to be specific? Is she making the exact same claim as was done in the previous attempts in this? And I'm just so curious, what are the actual details? What is hung up? I mean, someone has to have done some analysis so that you can kind of figure out what is actually the state's interest and like how large a territory historically and
I think we should look more into this. I would like
people
to hear more from people who know more about the subject. I admittedly don't know a lot about it because it's not talked about very much, but clearly it affects a lot of people, and it's just something that I don't understand it. If there's that much support for it and only the governor is vetoing it, I'm not aware of a government where that works, where somebody can just say no, and even though everybody else says yes, they have no power to override. I know that that power exists.
I wonder also, is it private interests that are putting pressure on the state?
Oh, undoubtedly.
That are in the area that would have to otherwise move or, as I said, relinquish certain private properties or rights because of the change or treaties they might be honoring or introducing from a bygone era that aren't recognized currently.
Yeah,
we'll keep following this story.
I'd like to know more. I really would. So you hear about this other story, though. In Nassau County, they want to build this $4 billion casino at the site of Nassau Coliseum. It's called the Las Vegas Sands Casino, literally bringing Las Vegas to Nassau County. Our friends at Hofstra University have actually been fighting this. They basically sued to prevent this from happening because their view and the view of many residents is that having a casino, a huge casino in a residential area, is going to really mess up the residential area quite a bit. And it's being fast-tracked. You know, it's being fast-tracked by the far-right Nassau County government. And, you know, the Nassau County executive, Bruce Blakeman, this guy is a real terror. And this is part of his vision, sticking casinos in places. And, yeah, y'all make money from casinos, but you're destroying your neighborhood in the process. Anyway, the headline in Newsday was Las Vegas Sands Casino Proposal Faces Lengthy Court Fight, according to experts. So that is, I consider it to be a good thing. And I want to thank Hofstra University for fighting this and everybody else who is fighting this as well. And I hope that they don't give up. I hope they keep fighting to preserve what they have left, because so much of Nassau County has already been ruined with overdevelopment. And this would just, I cannot imagine it. I don't see the need for it. The issue right now is whether Nassau County legislators and the Planning Commission in the spring, this spring, hid the lease from public scrutiny and should have conducted a full environmental analysis under state law when it entered the agreement with the Sands Casino people for $54 million. State Supreme Court Judge Sarika Kapoor ruled that Nassau violated the state's open meetings law and the State Environmental Quality Review Act. Her decision annulled the lease agreement between the county and Sands that was approved by the Planning Commission by a 17-to-1 vote of the county legislature. That's how corrupt they are. Andy Schumann, an attorney representing Hofstra, argues there isn't a reason for Sands to keep the lease even as the county makes its appeal. Hofstra opposes the temporary hold that is currently in place. Schumann said the county is free to do what Hofstra initially had asked and what Kapoor ordered, return to the Planning Commission and allow adequate public comment and environmental review. That'll probably take less time than going through the appeals process. Yeah, which is what the Sands people have to do right now. You have to wonder, why would they keep this from being open to the public? You know, they're just trying to push this through, have no public input whatsoever.
Totally. And the emphasis on gambling and the growth of it. Like, I'm not a big gambler, but I guess, I mean,
you're not a gambler at all.
If it's emerging in all these apps and virtual spaces, well, there's been a lot of changes in that. And I'm curious why it has to continue to grow and grow and grow and grow, because at a certain point there's like a saturation and it really will change a lot of the behaviors and take away from communities that it's entering. So I'm really glad that people are asking these questions and institutions like the university, which has, you know, a presence, and there's a certain environment that it would change the nature of it. I honestly don't understand the I don't know, recreation or whatever you call gambling.
I don't get it either. And it really, you know, seeing all the gambling references with regards to sports these days with every single game. You know, we were at the game at Yankee Stadium earlier this year. They were talking about gambling on the billboard, you know, odds and things like that. Can we just play a game? Can we just, you know, see athletes compete against each other without, you know, making it decide our futures or just taking the fun out of it by winning or losing money based on what somebody does? It just feels tarnished somehow.
Yeah, I think it's tacky, and it also introduces incentive. I think incentivizes corruption, and it can have a real effect on fairness of games that are just otherwise innocent and but susceptible to that kind of pressure.
Mm-hmm.
So it takes away from the sports and all of the other small features and I don't know, they're like betting on this maximum approach, this huge push, I guess, to make it so chaotic that it's not totally corrupt, but I don't know. I don't feel like this is a priority. It should be a priority, like exporting Vegas to all 50 states.
Oh, my God.
I thought it's like part of the draw, like tourist draw to those places by having a unique ability to have those industries. And I don't know. I guess they serve some purposes for some communities.
It's different in different places. Vegas is an oddity. Atlantic City is or was an oddity. Fine. Have those places be the draw for that. But spreading it everywhere, it's like putting Disney stores in every community. No, don't do that. That's wrong. it's not. And if you ruin professional sports with gambling, that's also wrong because you're taking away something that exists on its own right and adding this other element to it that forever changes the way people look at this. Look, you know, instead of having professional athletes who are already making a mint somehow be related to gambling on top of that, why not, if we insist on having gambling, do it at like the junior high school level, okay? Because nobody knows what's going to happen with those guys, and they don't have the ability, you know, to get involved with the gambling part of it themselves. You know, they don't have all the connections yet. So anybody could win. So you bet on you know, the junior high school soccer team, and, you know, you don't tell them what you're betting on, but you collect based on the score. You know, if you're that obsessed with gambling, do it that way, all right? Leave the professionals out of it. Just an idea, just a thought. All right, you know what is not a gamble? You know what's not a gamble, Kyle?
I don't know what isn't a gamble.
Supporting WUSB is not a gamble. That is a sure thing, and here are some people to tell you about it.
Hey, DJ Spoonfuls.
Hey, DJ Cosmonaut, what's up?
Oh, not much. Just listening to Long Island's largest non-commercial radio station.
WUSB Stony Brook.
Wow, that's awesome. How many watts do they have?
A whopping 3,600. They reach all over Long Island and part of Southern Connecticut.
Wow, how does a non-commercial radio station that big stay running 24 hours a day and 7 days a week?
What a convenient question. I'm glad you asked, because right now they're having a radiothon.
No way, a radiothon?
You guessed it.
Wait, but I didn't guess anything.
That means average people like us can donate to them during this time too.
Wow, is there a number I can call to donate?
Yes, their number is
631-632-6901.
That is
631-632-6901.
Awesome, I'll go call right now.
Oh my God, I hadn't heard that before. That's great. Well, who's the robot? We have a robot. That's great. WUSB.FM, that's the website to pledge to. If the phone doesn't answer, go there and pledge your monthly support. Remember, just a cup of coffee, that's what it costs to support us for a month, or you know, a monthly charge on your credit card or bank statement or whatever, and that is a significant amount at the end of the year for us. Kyle, you're red-faced with laughter. Are you okay? Need oxygen.
I'm beside myself.
Breathe. Remember? Yeah,
I just want to clarify. A cup of coffee is not what we're asking for. We have enough coffee.
Yeah, we do.
We need your pledge as a continuing donor to the station, friend of WUSB, and home of all the highest technology, robotic voices.
That's true.
Natural human voices speaking non-standard English. All over the airwaves locally and around the globe at WUSB.FM.
I can get Bard involved in this. You know, Google Bard, the artificial intelligence. I can reach out and ask him for his opinion on WUSB. But you know, not to step on our robots' shoes at all, if they wear shoes. Basically, so many people get what non-commercial radio is all about. You know, we were just watching a special on hip-hop last night in Canada. Canadian hip-hop, it's a whole big fascinating history, the Toronto scene. And one of the things I kept coming back to is the importance of non-commercial radio in getting music out, in starting people's careers, all of that. And if you listen to WUSB, you know, throughout the day, throughout the night, you will hear musicians coming in and getting exposure on the air, sometimes playing live on the air, and basically being introduced to people for the very first time. And careers have been made by being broadcast over the radio. It's hugely important. Don't listen to anybody who says radio is dying. Yeah, stupid radio is dying. Radio that doesn't give you anything that your portable jukebox can't give you, that's dying, and it should. But radio like WUSB, where we have live people that are constantly going back and forth with all kinds of new things, that is more important than ever. So please remember that when you show your support. WUSB.fm. I saw somebody paying $10 for a cup of coffee the other day, and we're asking for half that every month. And again, you know, I'm indignant if people don't think we're worth, you know, a cup of coffee or half a cup of coffee a month just to keep a radio station going. WUSB.fm.
I'm so glad you mentioned the ability for unknown artists to get on the air. That's not a new thing. That's a tradition that is a big part of community radio, like you said, and that's been going on at WUSB for a very long time. When you go back through the archives, there's all kinds of demos and interesting pieces of media that have circulated that came through the both stations, old and new. We're still doing that virtually with files, I guess, these days. But so many artists do come. We have space enough to have them share their skills live if they play an instrument or if they're a vocalist or something. We can accommodate. Because people have invested in the station before. So we're asking you tonight to be a part of that on into the future, and we'll keep bringing you interesting music and stuff like that. Because the commercial side, like, their interests are different. We don't have motives. People here genuinely love music. They love this place that allows them to focus on the music and nothing else. We have everything at our fingertips. We're here just with you, sending out all across the town and the world. And that's an incredible experience. So it's conducive to that. You get to make the thing itself work, powering it with your contributions. And again, commercial interests, they've got different obligations, shall we say, as far as artists. And it's not the same anymore. There aren't even that many huge bands and things that are supported in this with the same kind of industry structures. And it's much more likely that someone who just wants to get a chance, just wants to get heard, they'll perform somewhere. It'll be a show around town that the station is plugged, or they'll hear a DJ. Maybe they'll send in something. Those are all things that come about from a place being here, a place like WUSB.
I just asked Google Bard, the artificial intelligence being, I guess, if that mechanical object out there that we don't know exactly what it's going to do or how much dangerous it's going to prove to be in the years ahead. I asked if it could give us a reason to support WUSB, and here's the response.
Sure. Here are some reasons why it's important to support non-commercial radio station WUSB in Stony Brook. WUSB is a vital source of independent news and music. In an era of corporate media consolidation, WUSB is a refreshing alternative, providing a platform for diverse voices and perspectives. The station's programming includes news, music, public affairs, and educational programs that are not found on commercial radio. WUSB is a training ground for future journalists and broadcasters. The station provides hands-on experience for Stony Brook students in all aspects of radio production, from writing and reporting to on-air broadcasting and technical production. Many WUSB alumni have gone on to successful careers in the media industry. WUSB is a valuable community resource. The station serves as a forum for local organizations and businesses to connect with the community. WUSB also broadcasts live coverage of local events, such as concerts, sports, and town hall meetings. WUSB is a financial underdog. Unlike commercial stations, WUSB does not rely on advertising revenue to survive. The station is funded by listener donations, grants, and underwriting sponsorships. Your support is essential to keeping WUSB on the air. Here are some specific ways you can support WUSB. Make a financial donation online or by mail. Become a monthly sustaining member. Underwrite a particular program or segment. Volunteer your time or skills. Spread the word about WUSB to your friends and family. Thank you for your support of WUSB.
And thank you, Bard, for that impassioned appeal. I don't get, why was he mispronouncing WUSB half the time, and the other half he was getting it right? How was he saying a
WUSB?
I can't even replicate that. We shouldn't make fun. We shouldn't make fun. It's probably just a challenge that
Bard
had.
It's like there was an E. Did it spell it differently?
No, I'm looking at it. It's exactly the same.
It's a transcript, and it's the same. Okay.
Maybe after it follows a certain letter, it acts a certain way. We're going to study this. We're going to learn.
USB, it like doubled up on something.
But all of that just from saying, why should people support WUSB? I didn't give it any more information than that. Of course, it didn't give the website, WUSB.FM. That's the website to go to support the station. I know a lot of people listen to us because, you know, when we say something wrong, we hear about it. And sometimes when we say something right, we hear about it. OTW@2600.com is our email address. So please write to us with those comments. But consider supporting the station, too. And you don't have to be local. It's great if you are local, but you don't have to be local. You can be, you know, in Dar es Salaam and support WUSB because it's something that brings you pleasure, joy, education, enlightenment. I don't know. Anger. If it awakens anything in you, I think it's worth having around. So please give that tiny amount per month and see it add up over the year, and that'll keep WUSB strong.
They could be on another world, even. I mean, if they could get the call in to make the contribution, like...
Well, hold on a second. If you're saying aliens from other worlds, we don't have, like, banking agreements with whatever it is they use out there. That's going to probably result in fees, and I don't know if I want to introduce that. But, you know, what if you're an advanced race, I guess you can figure out a way
to... Don't they have interlocutor, like a liaison or someone that can handle...
I don't know.
I'm just saying that if they were outside the sort of atmosphere, our gravity, so to speak, but they were able to make a call, they could still contribute.
Maybe,
and in fact, I mean, the Dar es Salaam thing might actually go up and then down on like some kind of satellite.
Well, maybe we should be focused more on people of the South Shore and try to get them to call and you know, support the station before we reach out to the heavens and get interplanetary people involved.
Well, people in the South Shore go on vacations and
not
to space.
Saying, they don't.
There's a lot of competition.
Uh-huh.
So, you know.
The state's highest court has upheld a measure banning the New York Police Department from using a chokehold while attempting to detain or arrest suspects. Wait a minute. So that means NYPD is attempting to use chokeholds again. Wow, how low do you have to be fighting for something like a chokehold? The state court of appeals yesterday sided with the city in upholding administrative code 10-181, which outlines unlawful methods of restraint. The July 2020 law made it a misdemeanor for law enforcement officers either to use a chokehold, a misdemeanor, wow, it's like jaywalking, or sitting, kneeling, or standing on the chest or back in a manner that compresses the diaphragm in New York City. But you can do it in Jersey. This is pathetic. It should be a lot more of a crime than that. We recognize that police officers are called upon to respond to dangerous and volatile situations requiring real-time assessment of the level of force necessary to safeguard the public and ensure officer safety, the court wrote. However, for criminal liability to attach under the challenge portion of Administrative Code 10-181, a particular type of pressure must be voluntarily, not accidentally, applied to an arrestee's chest or back, and such conduct must fall outside the parameters of justifiable use of physical force. It's the folks at the Policemen's, or the Police Benevolent Association, they're not so benevolent, they argue the law is too vague, saying that it would be too difficult for an officer to discern when their actions resulted in the compression of an arrestee's diaphragm. Maybe just don't, you know, lean your knee in someone's neck or stand on their chest. How about that? You can do that. If you can't do that, you're not a very good cop. That's my opinion. It's just, this is really a bad look to be in court arguing to allow chokeholds again. Really is not a good thing. Shame on you, NYPD. You do some good things, but boy, this is bad.
So belligerent. Police Belligerent Association.
Anyway, with that chipper note, we have a minute. I want to wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving. You know, you're probably about to go into the gates of hell with your family and, you know, talking to people about various world events and political events and the future and the past and all that. Look, just think of people as people. You know, if you need help and somebody comes to rescue you, you know, from the fire department or, you know, first responder, ambulances, whatever, you don't ask what their politics are. You know, they care, they're there to help you, and hopefully you feel the same way towards anybody you come across who is in trouble in one way or another. That's the default. That's who we are to each other. That's who we must remain to each other. Now, everything after that, yeah, we're going to disagree. We're going to have all kinds of back and forth. But if we can maintain that level of respect, we might have a chance of getting through whatever difficult times lie ahead. So I hope everybody keeps that in mind and remembers that the person you're arguing with is somebody that you have something in common with as well. And maybe steer the conversation in that direction. And, you know, when you respect somebody, you can disagree with them and maybe even convince them.
And laughing a little.
Oh, yeah.
Having fun doesn't hurt. A good, healthy dose of that, some humor might do us all a little good. Don't take yourself so seriously.
Exactly, yeah. And, yeah, laughing is always a good thing. It always is. And it helps lighten the mood a little bit. And
enjoy the holiday.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's try that. Give it a shot. Okay, I believe Finn is up next. We're going to go out with something from the new Don Letts record, which has been out for about a month or so now. Don Letts, of course, former member of Big Audio Dynamite and Screaming Target and videographer for The Clash and all kinds of cool things. This album is really worth getting. Out of Sync is what it's called. Kind of hard to get in this country, but if you try, you'll be able to find it. OTW@2600.com, our email address. Please write to us. Again, WUSB.FM to show support to the radio station. We will see you next week. Good night.
Yeah, that's right. Don Letts right here, always positive, always with a great message. Say yes to the future, right? Say yes to love. Say yes instead of no. And I'm all with that sentiment. And I would like to add, let's say yes to pledging to WUSB. 631-632-6901, or better yet, to get all your information in there fast and furiously, you can go to WUSB.FM and do a pledge right there directly. We have a very special show for you tonight on Finn's Revolution, which is we're going to rebroadcast a couple of vintage interviews. And every week, I think, while this pledge drive is going on, I think we're going to cast the line back in time and see what we can find. And I picked two from 2008. That's right. That's how long ago that goes. And the first, during our first hour, we're going to be listening to an interview with Hubert Sumlin, who those of you who do not know was Howlin' Wolf's right-hand man, his guitar player, with the coolest guitars in the world and also the greatest sound and the great cutting sound. And, he just did everything for those Howlin' Wolf songs. And, we did an interview with him, one of his last interviews, and a phone interview a bunch of years ago. And we're going to be rebroadcasting that along with, of course, some Wolf. But meanwhile, we need you to call to show your support in this first hour for the blues, baby. And, of course, you know, as it's often said every other week now, Tuesday is Blues Day, and it's going to be that for the first hour tonight. So to show your support for that, give us a call, 631-632-6901, and pledge to WUSB Stony Brook to let us know what you love. Meanwhile, let me get to our theme song, which, of course, is The Prisoner, right here. Finn's Revolution, WUSB Stony Brook.